prayer, and thank you for following along and praying along with us. Leviticus, if you'll turn to the book of Leviticus, we'll stop in chapter 1, and then we're going to turn over to chapter 18. If you'll recall, as you were finding your way to Leviticus chapter number 1, when we began this study, we said that the book of Leviticus is divided into two sections. The first 17 chapters deal with sacrifice, and we talked about the sacrifice, the offerings, the priesthood. The reason it deals with sacrifice is because the theme is salvation. It's a relationship with God. And God tells the children of Israel, the only way you can have a relationship with me is through sacrifice. And that really hasn't changed, even in the new economy. We can only have a relationship with God through a sacrifice, and it's the ultimate sacrifice. It's the sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins, which is Jesus Christ. And so we, through that sacrifice, God has purchased eternal redemption for us and to those who will come by faith, through repentance, and accept the free gift of God, can be saved in the grace of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And Leviticus chapter number 1, or in chapters 1 through 17, deal with that. Now, in chapter 18, which we're going to begin a new section tonight, and we'll get there in just a moment. In chapter 18, the focus changes, and it goes from sacrifice to separation. And God deals with separation. See, God just doesn't save us and leave us to ourselves. God wants us to be separated from the world. Now, you have to remember, God is bringing the children of Israel into the promised land. He's brought them out of Egypt, and he's taken them into the promised land. And so he's laying down guidelines for them to adhere to when they get into the land. And so he says, I'm going to deal with separation. And this separation has really nothing to do with relationship like sacrifice. It deals with fellowship. Our fellowship with God, or our sanctification. The sacrifice deals with our salvation, and the separation deals with our sanctification. And so it's just a totally different thing. So we don't live a certain way in order to be saved. We live a certain way because we are saved. We don't work to become saved, but we are His workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. And so that's the two major themes. Now, in Leviticus chapter number 1, the real key to the whole book starts out in verse number 1, where it says, "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation." So here it is. See, the book of Exodus is God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. The book of Leviticus is God bringing Egypt out of the children of Israel. All right, I want you to get that, okay? God just doesn't want you to get out of Egypt. God wants to get Egypt out of you. All right, and that's what's happening here. These people had adapted a lot of the lifestyle and a lot of the pagan practices around them in Egypt. You don't have to read far into the book of Leviticus, or rather into the book of Exodus, before you find that they began to build them gods of gold, and the molten calf, and all. They began to murmur and complain, and they took on an attitude of a people that were around them instead of an attitude of one who was following God. Now, in the new economy and this age of grace in which we live, it's the same thing. See, when we get saved, God saves us to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so He leaves us here to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. He leaves us here as a witness, as a testimony. And so He brings us, so to speak, out of the world, and then He's just like Egypt, and then now He's getting the world out of us, because a lot of us came up, listen, in the world, and we've adapted things of the world. We're depraved by nature, but we're like the world in that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. All right? So again, look at it, verse number 1. "And the Lord God called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle." Very important. The book of Leviticus ends Mount Sinai. All right? See, most people, when they think of Mount Sinai, they think of God giving the Ten Commandments, and they should. But that's not all that Moses got on Mount Sinai. He got the blueprint to the tabernacle. Why? Because God wanted to dwell with his people. That was the only way. God knew that he could get Egypt out of his people. All right? So he began and he set up these sacrifices and he set up this offering. He set up the priesthood. He set up this order. And so we went through these chapters and we dealt with different things that God laid down as guidelines, as ceremonies for them to follow in order to walk with him. Then we get to chapter 18. By the way, it's really summed up in chapter 17, those first 17 chapters. It's summed up in chapter 17, verse number 11. Chapter 17, verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." God has chosen the blood. That's right. God, listen, anybody that tells you that you can have a relationship with the God of heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ is a false prophet. Okay? And don't you forget that. You say, well, now, what about religion? Well, we heard from our brother tonight. Religion is just a system of works. And no amount of works can ever gain you an acceptable entrance into the presence of God. There must be a mediator. And there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so don't you forget that, all right? Now, we're going to pick up here in chapter 18. I'm going to talk to you a little bit out of chapter 18, 19, and 20. And I'm just going to kind of top the trees again, okay? I'm just going to highlight some things. There's a lot of material in here. I'm going to highlight some things. He's going to get into some three different matters. Let me give you some chapter headings. Chapter number 18 deals with sexual matters. You say, well, does sexual matter? Yes, sex matters. Sex is a gift from God. That's right. It's a gift from God. Now, the devil has taken this gift and he's distorted it greatly. And it's caused a lot of confusion in our world. But we are sexual creatures with sexual identities. Now, I read this past week where there are people that are no longer calling their newborns babies. They're wanting to call them babies. And my stomach began to turn as we have people having problems with even the most simple of things in life, and they think it's cultured and educated. That's foolish. It's foolish. And so we'll talk more about that in a moment. So though that God has given us this gift, we're living in a sex-crazed, in a sexual-obsessed, and a sexual-saturated society. And so God set down some rules early in his word. Right here in this 18th chapter, it goes about as in-depth as any one chapter in all the Bible about some guidelines to this most precious gift that God has given and how that those guidelines should be followed among his people. And so I want you to listen carefully. Chapter 18, there's some words concerning sexual matters. Chapter 19, there's some words concerning legal matters. God says there's just things you ought to do and some things you ought not to do. Amen? There's just things as believers, there's just things as God's people. And let me just go on and say it even beyond that. There's just some things, just being a human being, there's just some things you ought to do and some things you ought not to do. Now, God is founding these things in his Ten Commandments. And I'll not take the time, maybe not, I don't know, I may. I've got it written down here. We'll see how our time goes and go through this chapter 19. But you'll find the Ten Commandments in there. You'll find the actions that God is telling his people to abide by, the founding of those actions from the law of the Ten Commandments. Just good moral principles that God said, I want you to live by, okay? And then there's chapter 20. This deals with penal matters, okay? So you got sexual matters, and then you have legal matters, and then penal. In other words, the punishment for not doing what God said. The punishment. You say, well, does God punish those who do not do what he says? There's consequences for breaking God's law. There's consequences for breaking God's law. And that's in every realm. And so I want you to realize this, okay? There's consequences. I recall back, I don't know how long it's been now, maybe 12, 15 years. And I'm not beating up on anybody. I just recall this Hollywood person, Rosie O'Donnell. President George Bush was in the office at the time, and he had upheld the law that marriage, that one man and one woman constituted the sanctity and the institution of marriage. And of course, she wanted to marry her female partner, and so she blasted him, and she said, we're going to San Francisco to be married, and I want to say that what our president has done is immoral. And I remember thinking when I heard that statement, immoral. And I thought, I wonder how many people are allowing Rosie O'Donnell to set the moral standard in their home. I wonder how many people are allowing that crowd to set the moral standard in their home. So Rosie says I'm not beating up on her. I'm just saying that, listen, that crowd doesn't even know what immoral is. That crowd doesn't even know what moral is, all right? Now, I want to show you something in this message. God makes the rules, brethren. God makes the rules. God sets the guidelines. I want you to understand that. Say, well, what is right? What is wrong? What God says. What God says is right. That's what's right. What God says is wrong. That's what's wrong. You see, what you say is right. What I say is right. What we say is right or wrong may not be right or wrong, but what God says is right is right. What God says is wrong is wrong. All right? Now, just because a preacher gets up with a loud voice and says it's wrong, that doesn't mean it's wrong. Just because a preacher gets up and says it's right, that doesn't mean it's right. But when someone can stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, the scriptures, the Holy Scripture, the Word of God said it's wrong, then you mark it down, it's wrong. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. Doesn't matter. And so that's what God's dealing with here. See, there's a lot of questions about these matters. There's a lot of questions about, there's people that laugh when the word adultery is mentioned. When we're told that, you should keep your hands to yourself, that you should keep these things between you and your wife, you and your husband, and they should not extend beyond the guideline. People balk at that. They scoff at that. They laugh. But I want to tell you something. God's not laughing. God's not laughing. And it's opened the door to some things that we're seeing that is unconscionable. Listen, we cannot fathom the things that are happening in our world today. Let's look at them. God lays down four of them right here. And he goes in detail. Now, I may not go in full detail, but I want to get you headed in that direction so that when you get home tonight and sometime through the remainder of this week, when you open up your Bible to Leviticus 18, 19, and 20, you'll begin to maybe extend some thoughts that I could just kind of prompt you to go in that direction. All right, let's look at it. Sexual laws. Okay, what does God say about it? Well, he said, first of all, he said here in verse number 3, he said, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwell, shall ye not do. Now, God said, I'm going to tell you some things about sexual and legal matters. And he said, I'm going to start out by telling you there's just some things you should not do. All right? And he said, and the things that you saw, the things that was around you there in Egypt, don't do it. They're pagan. They're heathen. All right? So, everybody's doing it, preacher. Well, they're Egyptians. That's what Egyptians do. Amen? You see what God's saying here. Look at what he went on to say. He said, not only were they doing it where you come from, but he said, they're going to be doing it where you're going to. Look what he said now in verse number 3. And he said, shall you not do so? In verse number 3, he said, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances.
He says, so the Egyptians and the Canaanites, they're heathen. They're pagan. They're godless. Don't follow their way. Don't follow their way. You say, well, you know, preacher, the movie stars are doing it, and the athletes are doing it, and the performers are doing it. If God said it's wrong, what they're doing, it's wrong. Stay away from it. Amen. Now, he said, so there's not only some things that you shouldn't do, but there's some things that you should do. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, that's the thing about you. You Bible preachers, you're always talking negative. Well, God's got some positive too. Look here in verse number 4. Ye shall do. That sounds pretty positive. Now, here's some things you can do. And these are some things you should do. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, Rosie needs to know that. See, it doesn't matter what you want. Doesn't matter what you think's moral and immoral. And that's for every person. So, well, I want to do what I want to do. Well, then create your own universe and do what you want to do in it. You say, you're being smart at it. I'm just saying it like it is. God made this world. This is my Father's world. God made this place. God made you. God made us. And God has set up the rules. And he expects us to follow them too. He said here, in verse number 5, ye shall therefore keep my statutes. That's positive, right? That's positive. So he said, you know, there's some things you shouldn't do, but now don't make it all about what you shouldn't do. He said, you shouldn't be like the Egyptians. You shouldn't be like the Canaanites. They're heathen. They're pagan. But he said, now, you're my people. You should follow my statutes, my ordinances, right? Is that what he's saying? All right, now let's get into it. Number one, write this down. He says, incest is wrong. Now, you shouldn't be aghast at that. I mean, I think most of us realize incest is wrong. However, you mark my word down, it's coming. It's already moving in that direction. See, the door to cesspool has been opened. It's been opened. It was cracked open, now it's been kicked wide open, and everything that's unholy and ungodly is coming through. And now the saying is, what happens in my bedroom is none of your business. Even if it's with a child, even if it's with your daughter, it is our business. Amen. But see, they say that when it's two consenting adults because they want you to buy into it. Don't you buy into that. Now here's what God said. He said, look at verse number 6. He said, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, you would think that we wouldn't have to be told that. But I got to remind you how base, how common, how depraved we are. And so you have to understand, these people were the Egyptians. They had lived in Egypt. They're going to Canaan. These people were anything goes. I can't overemphasize, they were a pagan people. They were godless. As a matter of fact, God said that they were disease riddled. This may answer a question. Oftentimes I am asked, what is it with this God of yours that okays his people going in and just exterminating sometimes a whole race? They were disease riddled with plague and disease. Even the land, the Bible says, vomited. You say, I don't like that word. Well, you take it up with Moses when you get to heaven. Amen. He used it right here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 27. In verse number 27 of chapter number 18, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. 28, that the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among the people. And so God said, don't you do them. Now I'm going to get back. I think we have the word here in verse number 25. The land is defiled, he said. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. These people were filled and riddled with disease. And God said, can't leave them. You can't mingle with that. Okay? Now, God knows more than we know. And God had a purpose in it. These people were as low as you get. And so God said, don't you start partaking of their ways. All right? So, no incest. He said, don't go in to your kinfolk. Is that what he said in verse 6? Then he begins to break it down. Okay, and I'm not going to break it all the way. And he breaks it down all the way through verse number 19. He starts talking about your father and your mother, verse number 7. He said, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother, but thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. And then he begins to talk about sisters. And he begins to talk about the stepmom and the nieces on the dad's side and the nieces on the mom's side. And he said, listen, he said, just don't do it. It's defilement. Don't do it. He even got down to in-laws and said, don't go into your daughter-in-law. It's wrong. Incest. It's wrong. You say, well, preacher, we shouldn't have to be told that. Well, there's a lot of things we shouldn't have to be told, but we have to understand we're sinners, brethren. We're bent. We're broken. And God set up some guidelines because he knows that man is depraved and man needs instruction. Now, you might think, well, I'm glad, but that was back then. That was back, you know. Those people were just in degradation and in sin, much like our society today. Much like our society today. Brethren, it's coming. There's already people that are saying that they want to marry their daughter. There's men who want to marry their daughter. You say, how can that be? They're sick. It's sin. And it's coming. Okay? But it's not going to stop there. Incest, all right? You can read on down. It's right here. All the way down through verse number 19. Look at verse number 20. He changes in verse number 20. And it says, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Adultery. In sexual matters, incest is sinful. In sexual matters, adultery is sinful. There used to be a time, and it still is, the law of adultery is still on the books in many states of our union. But it's laughed at. It's scoffed at today. People do it with regularity like there's nothing to it. Can I tell you, adultery is still sin? You know, we get a man sometimes in a good, sound, Bible-believing church, and he'll get up and read that, you know, one man and one woman, and people just shout, amen, you know, boy, we're opposed to sodomy, we're opposed to homosexuality. I am too. God is. That's what really matters. But can I tell you, it's not just only one man and one wife. It is one man and one wife, not two. Amen. God didn't make two for Adam. God said, you stay away from your neighbor's wife. Is that what he said? That's what he said. Adultery is sin. Now, I could talk about incest and people shake their head, amen. Adultery is sin. God's not changing on that. Listen, you'll lose the blessing of God. You'll lose the power of God, the fellowship of God on your life if you get involved in that sin. Okay? Adultery. Verse number 20. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. Sodomy. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Sodomy. We have called it homosexuality. You call it whatever you will. God called it sodomy. And it said it's unnatural. You say, preacher, do you hate sodomites? I don't hate adulterers, so I don't hate sodomites. It's sin. Right? Do you hate people who commit adultery? I don't. I try to get them saved. Try to get them back in fellowship with God. I try to get people that are involved in the sin of sodomy. I try to get them saved. So, well, they can't be saved. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, listen, You be careful. We're going to get to that in just a few moments, how Paul said to the church at Corinth, which is a very carnal church, he mentioned the word effeminate. He said, as such were some of you. Some sodomites got saved in that town, and sodomites can be saved. Just like adulterers. Amen. Just like those that are involved in incest. And look at this. And just so, listen, there may be somebody here say, well, you know, verse number 22, that's Old Testament, and I've heard these God deniers, these haters of the Bible. Hey, you know, that's Old Testament, and everything's abomination to the God of the Old Testament. Well, turn, if you would, just for a moment, okay? And I'll just take just a moment to Romans chapter 1. There's a New Testament take on sodomy too, okay? In Romans chapter 1, Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he said in verse number 24, Romans 1 verse 24, you there? If not, listen carefully. Romans 1 verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Paul said, I'm astounded. Even their women. Expect an old vile, depraved, sin-sick man. But even their women, he said. You see that? Verse number 26, he said, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, which means shameful, and receiving in themselves that recompense or that penalty of their error which was meet or due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What's the apostle saying? He's saying the sin of sodomy is a sin against God, and God is opposed to it. You say, well, preacher, don't you know those people have urges? Yeah, I have urges too. I want you to listen to me. You say, preacher, you mean you have an urge for another man? Never in my life have I had one. I've never had that. But that doesn't mean that somebody may not. However, I have had urges that I cannot follow. It's sinful. And just because someone has an urge doesn't give them the approval and the green light to follow that urge. What would it be if every person followed their urge? You ever felt like running somebody off of 29 and strangling them to death? If you have, raise your hand. The rest of you don't have license. You can't follow your impulse. You can't follow your urge. And yet we're being told to accept this because, well, people have urges. They can't help it. I have some urges too, but I can help it. You know how much I sin today? As much as I chose to. Just like you. Well, preacher, the devil made me do it. The devil's never made you do anything. He may have enticed you. He may have tempted you, but he cannot make you. God will not make you, and the devil cannot make you. You're a free moral agent. You chose to do what you did today. I want you to understand that. See, this blaming and shifting and finger-pointing and all that, listen, that's of the devil. That's of the devil. So I want you to get that. Back to Leviticus 18. So there's incest, there's adultery, there's sodomy. It's wrong, brethren, okay? Adultery's wrong. Incest is wrong. And then you would think, well, surely God have mercy. Do we even have to discuss bestiality? Bestiality? Do we even have to mention that? That a person would lie with an animal? Well, verse number 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Now I got to tell you, there's a lot around animals today that's confusing me. I'm getting confused about it. And I think we need to reevaluate some things and understand the way God has set up the system. That's not my message tonight, but I want you to know something. Pastor Brandon hit on it Sunday night, and I want you to know something. There's just some things that if you're not careful, you're going to fall into the line of those that are of the evolutionary persuasion. To where they yoke us all together and say, well, we're all God's creatures and we're all on the same level. I beg your pardon, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God created everything, but he set man up as dominion over them. And we have to understand that. You say, well, shouldn't I love my animal? Well, the Bible says you ought to regard your beast. Isn't that what Proverbs says? Proverbs 12:10 says, a righteous man regardeth his beast. God uses animals. Used a jackass, didn't he? Used a raven, didn't he? He spoke of the sparrows. So there's nothing wrong with using them. There's a place and a purpose for them. But don't get confused now. And here the Bible says that when people cross lines and they begin to be intimately involved and have a mindset that it can get confusing, and don't do that. Look at what it says now in the latter part of verse number 23. It is confusion. And so we want to draw distinctive lines. You say, well, shouldn't I care for my pet? Well, absolutely. If you have a pet, you ought to care for it. If you don't, you're not a good pet owner. Amen. Read Proverbs 12:10. It says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, feeds it. I don't know. Well, I better not go there. That's a whole nother message. I'm just telling you what God said. Okay, we got these rules down. Sexual sin. Did you get them? No incest. No incest. No adultery, God said. See, God said, I'm going to give you a gift, but with this gift, there's some stipulations. Right? Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Is that what the book says, rather? You better believe it. Hebrews 13:4. It's there. Incest, adultery, sodomy, it's wrong. Bestiality, it's wrong. Okay, God said it's wrong. And so he set up these guidelines, and I'm not going to go through. And he said, listen, where you came from and where you're going to, these people practiced these and many more things and defiled and became disease-ridden and plagued. Filthy. Much like our culture today. You begin to look back at Woodstock, and that's the generation that I'm from. Filthy. Filthy. How many of you were from that era? 60s. Filthy. Filthy. Free sex. Anything goes. Crossing lines. God said, hey, filthy. Filthy. Sinful. Don't be a part of that. Young people, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. If you're married, look to your wife, look to your husband, look to one another to meet those basic needs, those sexual needs that God has placed within you. It's God's way. You go outside of that, you're going to bring curse on your life now. You're going to bring curse on your life. All right? Chapter 19. So we deal with this. And God set it down. There's much more in there. I want you to read it now. Chapter 19, all right? What's God going to deal with? He's going to deal with legal matters. He said, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to do right. Now, I want you to follow this. There's just some good, plain, simple, practical teaching here. You say, preacher, I don't have to come to church and hear you tell me that I shouldn't get involved with my sister. Amen. Well, okay. But what about somebody else's sister? See, that's not all we've been talking about. Right? There's other things, and we need to take the whole counsel of God and remember what one person may be struggling with and you may not, they may not struggle with and you struggle, so God's putting it there for all of us. And then we get to chapter 19. And God says in chapter 19 in verse number 2, He says, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. I want you to live right. He keeps saying that. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 19 and verse number 26, or I'm sorry, verse number 24. Chapter 19, verse 24. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord therewith. And the latter part of verse number 25 says, I am the Lord your God. He said, I want you to conduct yourself in a certain way. Look at chapter 20 in verse number 7. Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God said, I want you to live holy now. See, it seems to be something that folks of today's church have forgotten. That God has a standard. God has a way that He expects us to live. There's just things God has set up and said, listen, I don't want you doing this. And there's things that He said, this I do want you doing. Amen? Well, I don't like anybody telling me what to do. Well, God is old. Listen, we've been bought with the price. And God is going to tell us what to do. He is. I like it when God tells me what to do. I like it when God tells. See, I don't know what to do most of the time. The time that I start doing what I want to do, I get in trouble. It's only when I'm doing what God shows me and directs me to do, it's when I am good about life. I feel good about it. I'm glad about following God's lead in my life. It's when I start doing what I want to do and what I think and how I reason this matter, that's troublesome times in my life. But when God's leading and I'm following, those are good times. Can you say amen right there? It's that way with every believer. Chapter 20 said, I want you to do the right thing. We'll just highlight these. Go run down here with me, would you? Look, if you would, in verse number 3. You shall fear. That word fear means revere. You shall fear, revere, honor every man, his mother and his father. Amen? Do right by your parents. Then he said in verse number 3, he said, keep my Sabbaths. Do right by the holy day. Do right by church. Do right by worship. Amen? These go together. Family and worship goes together. You ought to come to church as a family. I feel for some of these ladies, their husband always sending them and the children. Shame on you, sir. Shame on a man like that. You get your family and you come to church with them. Be a man. Be a leader in your home. Amen. Lead. Your wife, your children need a leader. So, well, I got more important things to do. You'll never find anything more important than worshiping God and sitting in a pew or a chair in church next to your wife and family. Amen. Well, I'm letting the wife take care of that. Yeah, it shows. Step up, sir. Be a leader in your home. It's important. Your family needs you. Your wife, those precious children, need you to be the leader of your home. Just the way God ordained it. And so he said right here in verse number 3, honor your parents. Revere them. Keep the Sabbath. Worship. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4, he said, don't get involved in idolatry. I find it interesting that right after he talked about the importance of spending time with the family and with God and in church, he started talking about idols. Many, many times this is where people go astray. They start backing off from family and they start backing off from God and church and things of ministry, and they start getting involved in things they should not be involved in. Isn't that the way it happens oftentimes? Been in this for over 30 years, brethren, and I can trace it. I can trace it to when people just start slacking off, going back, and they find themselves involved in idolatry. I'm not talking about dancing half naked around some totem pole. I'm talking about involved in things that at the end of life mean nothing. Nothing. Why, the things that are dear and sacred in life have gone to waste. God help you now. God help you. So he said in verse number 4, turn not unto idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. He spoke about the importance of those things. Then he said in verse number 9, I found this very interesting. In verse number 9 and 10, he said, when you reap the harvest, and he speaks in verse number 9 and 10 about remembering the poor. remembering the poor. Always remember that there are people that are doing everything they can, and it's not enough. It's good to help the poor. Now, he didn't say help the lazy. Amen. Don't help some lazy loafer. I tell you something I saw and I liked it. Okay? You see these people, and listen, if you've got a cousin or a nephew that's standing out on the side of the road with a sign, don't get mad at the preacher and spin tires out of here. Don't do that, okay? But they're standing on the street and it's got, you know, "We'll work for food," or "Anything will help." You've seen them, right, in Charlottesville. I mean, they're everywhere, right? And they got on better clothes than we have, most of them. But they've got these signs, you know, "We'll work for food." You say, "Well, preacher, is any of that real?" Well, I don't know their heart. I don't know their heart. But I like what one guy did, okay? Can I tell you what he did? Did you see this? It was on local news. It was on news. I don't know if it's local. But he had a sign and said, "Looking for a job." And when people tried to give him money, he was giving it back. And he had a stack of resumes he was handing out. I like it. I like that. He was not accepting money. He was standing on the street corner. When people would roll down their window to give him money, he would say no. And he would hand them a resume and say, if you know of somebody that's hiring, that my resume would fit. My contact information's on there. I can go with that. Amen. So he's saying here in verse number 9 and 10, he said, listen, you remember now when you're reaping, when God's giving you harvest, when God's blessing your life, there's some unfortunate. Now again, he's not talking about lazy people. He's not talking about loafers. All right? Leeches. He's talking about people that legitimately need help, and they are those people. We all know some, right? We all know they are those people. He said, remember them. Remember them. See, God will give through you what he won't give to you. And I'm going to say that again. God will give through you what he will not give to you. Not everything God gives to you, he wants you to keep. I know that's going to come hard for some of you to accept, but that's just the way it is, brethren. Your faith promise. God will give that to you, but that's not yours now. Right? See, God gives us things he never intends for us to keep. He wants us to be a channel. Can God trust to give to you, to give through you? I hope that he can. I believe many of you can, if not most of you, all right? Now, let's move on. There's several things in here. Look what he said here in verse number 11. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, nor lie one to another. That's just good practical truth, brethren. What's he saying? Don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. Is that what he's saying in verse number 11? I didn't have to get a Greek lexicon. I didn't have to get a Strong's Concordance. I didn't have to get a commentary down. I just read it. It's just practical. Do right. Oh, Dr. Bob, you say, do right. Though the stars fall, do right. Right? Be honest. Have character. Have some integrity. Just do right. You're a Christian. You bear the name of Christ. You shouldn't be lying and cheating and stealing. Why? Because he said, I'm your God. Be holy like I'm holy. Right? Take after your father. You ever look at somebody and say, that guy right there, he's just like his dad. Well, God wants people to say that about you and him. He's just like his Lord. Look at verse number 12. You shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. We swearing falsely and using God's name in vain. And we could go right on down. I want to just skip because I'm going to close right here. Look if you would. There's several things. I want you to read this sometime. Just good, practical, simple instruction. Right? Just God say, hey, this is what I want you to do and this is what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to do some things. No lying, no cheating, no stealing, no defrauding your brother, no getting revenge. If you look down, let's see, where's that at here? Verse number 16, don't be tail-bearing. In verse number 16, and plotting against your brother and your neighbor. Verse number 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge. He just said, you know, do right, work out your problems. Don't talk behind people's back. Don't slander people. These are just good, practical truths that we should all as Christians be living by. Amen? Yeah. You say, well, preacher, I do that. Well, good. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because you're going to be challenged in some of these areas maybe tomorrow, maybe before the night's through. Right? And so you remember what God said here. He said in sexual matters, there's just things you shouldn't do, and you need to stay straight and keep your eyes on your wife and your husband. And then he said in legal matters, he said, there's just things that I've written that's good for you. I'm not trying to be a no-fun God. I just want you to be protected, and I want you to have happiness and joy in your heart. I want you to be free from guilt and shame. Right? Let's look at one more. I like this one. He said, respect certain people. Now, we ought to respect everybody, but I want you to write these down, okay? Look at verse 14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. What's he saying? He said, you know, special needs, handicapped people, you ought to have a special care for them. Now, here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we do. And we love those folks. They're God's people, and we love them. We want to reach out to them, want to minister to them. And he says, so you don't treat those people disrespectful. Don't mock those people. Is that what he's saying? You better believe that's what he's saying. Listen, I have zero respect for a person that would make light of a special needs or a handicapped person. Don't do it around me, okay? Because I'd like to remain as spiritual as I can, and that might bring out some carnality, all right? We don't want that. I just don't like that. I don't think it's God honoring at all, and it's certainly not funny. So he said, you know, respect. That's what he said in verse number 14. Look, if you would, in verse number 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. I like it. I see several of our young people, when I approach them, or one of the elderly approach them, they stand to their feet and they look us in the eye and they shake our hand. Good training, parents. That's good training. And I believe they got it right here, if not in other places, certainly right here in Leviticus. It says, thou shalt rise up. You stand and respect the elderly. Don't you sit there chomping your gum. Yeah. That's no way to treat elderly folks. God is not pleased with that. He said, you show special respect to the handicapped and show respect, special respect. In verse number 32, what did he say? And to the aged. Is that what the Lord says, brethren? It is. It is. There's another one that I wrote down here. Look, if you would, in verse number 26. We've already covered this one, but he goes through it again in verse number 26. He said, you shall not eat anything. Oh, I'm sorry, verse number 43. That's in chapter, I'm in the wrong chapter here. Anyway, he's talking about the poor. He said, I want you to respect the poor. You take care of the poor. I thought I had it highlighted, but I didn't highlight that verse. But he said, verse 9 and 10, certainly of chapter number 19, he said, you take care of the poor. All right? So we looked at that. Chapter 18, sexual matters. Chapter 19, legal matters. And God said, if you don't do it now, you're hurting yourself. I'll close just by pointing this out to you in chapter 20. You read it when you get home. Notice this phrase in verse number 3, and I will set my face against that man. Now, you don't want God setting his face against you. He said it again in verse number 5. Then I will set my face against that man. He said it the latter part of verse number 6. I will even set my face against that soul. God said, now I've laid down some things here of what you shouldn't do and what you should do, of how you should act and how you shouldn't act. And he said, if you don't do it, you're the loser. You're going to take God's blessing off your life, and God's going to turn his face away from you. You say, well, I'm saved. I'm glad. That doesn't mean that you can't break fellowship with God by being disobedient to the clear teachings of the Word of God. And so let's be obedient now. When God shows us what to do, we need to do it. Amen? For to him, James 4:17, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want you to stand to your feet. There may be somebody here tonight that will say, now, preacher, as you were going through that, I've messed up. And I got involved even as a believer in some of those things. Listen, he deals with all kinds of things. He deals with soothsaying, wizards, enchanters. Listen, you don't have to read your horoscope. Read the Bible. Amen. So, well, I'm gonna look at my horoscope. I'm gonna see what's in the stars for a Scorpio. What? You're a Christian. What's in stars for the Scorpio? You need to find out what's in the book of Leviticus for you. Amen. And Deuteronomy and Numbers and Peter and James, you see, find out what God said. All that stuff, brethren, that's the Egyptians. Understand me now. That's the Canaanites. That's not for Christians. And perhaps you've done that. I'm not beating up on you. I want to help you. I know several people, and before I got saved, I got involved in a lot of silly stuff that I was influenced. You can go through Leviticus 19, people getting brandings and tattoos all over their body. God said, hey, don't you do that. Cuttings. There's this new thing called scarification. Have you heard about it? Scarification? Oh, it's where people just cut themselves, and they call it scarification art. They cut themselves and they let it heal, and it leaves scars, and it's supposed to be art. Read Leviticus 19, 26, 27, 28. God said, listen, that's what unbelievers do. That's what Egyptians and Canaanites do. You say, well, preacher, I've messed up. I got a tattoo or a branding, or I got involved in horoscopes, or I went to see a palm reader. I messed up and got involved in some things sexually I shouldn't have, and maybe not, you know, I was looking at something or reading something and I just messed up. Well, now, if God convicted your heart tonight and you'll repent of that sin, God will forgive you. I want you to know that. Okay, God will forgive you. But you've got to realize that when God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter. Well, you know, but preacher, they done it. Well, what did God say? Well, I just feel. It doesn't matter how we feel. What did God say? You see, that's what matters. So I want to help you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor effeminate, nor drunkards. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul went on to say, but such were some of you. But now you are justified, right? Now you're sanctified. You've been washed. And so God will forgive you. If you'll confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you. You say, well, I messed up. Well, haven't we all? Haven't we? We all have things that we brought over from the old Adamic nature into this new life that God has given us. And sometimes it's a process, and things kind of begin to, we work out of our lives. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But you've got to work with God and let Him work with you.